Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to Building Sustainability. This is a bite-size episode, so it's just a short 10-minute nugget of building sustainability. Enjoy.
I wanted to talk a little bit about clay and health because it's something which has become much more apparent quite recently about the links between clay and health. Clay manages humidity. It's hydrophilic. It loves water, and it can take up water by absorbing it from a liquid state or by adsorbing it from a gaseous state. And in this way, it can draw moisture in a gaseous state out of the air and into itself so fast that bathroom mirrors don't steam up, because the clay is taking, in a very active way, moisture out of the air and holding the humidity of an internal space at a very, very steady 50% rate. And 50% humidity in air means that the air is perfect conditions for humans. It's the perfect state for people with asthma, with other kinds of respiratory diseases, problems. It's the perfect state to prevent the growth of bacteria, of molds, and of viruses, to make spaces which are extremely healthy for humans to live in. And yet we think about clay as being this ancient material that's perhaps it's a bit backward in comparison with a lovely gypsum finish or lime or a cement render. But actually, clay is, with its extremely dynamic nature, able to hold indoor air humidity at such a point, and without ever turning it on or turning it off, it just does it on its own. It can make spaces which are healthy for us. So this ability of clay to hold humidity in this steady state, and that steady state being so good for our health, how did that come about? Is that just a pure coincidence? Is that luck? Or did we as humans evolve over time to take advantage of the effect that clay was giving? Or is that just a pure coincidence? And these are questions which are quite difficult to answer. Maybe there's no interest in finding out where it started, But the fact remains that clay gives us indoor environments which are of themselves healthy. They don't require any mechanical or artificial means to produce them. The clay itself does it. Clay is a really extraordinary material, a very social material. As soon as you begin working with it with other people, you discover the touch and feel, the sensation of the material is both enjoyable and sociable. It allows conversations to grow up around itself in a way that many other building materials don't. Those other two pillars of sustainability materials, fibres and wood, very often do, but you don't get the same kinds of conversations growing up around a cement mixer as you do when you're mixing cob with your feet. I've talked all the way through using this word clay, and when I came into using earth as a building material, my assumption as a sort of young man was that loads and loads of people would understand what clay was, and they would know how it worked and what made it up. And it took me quite a long time to realize that actually this isn't the case, and that clay is a massively overlooked mineral, which we very much take for granted. And even the word is quite misleading, giving you the sense that it's a single thing, that clay is a material. But in fact, it's made, the word clay covers a whole family of different materials. And so you've got Fuller's earth or bentonite, a highly expansive clay at one end of the scale, all the way down to kaolin at the other. And these materials are wildly different to each other. They still have the same platelet structure and they stick together with electrical charges. But the shrinkage at one end of the spectrum is so vast that to control it takes an enormous amount of effort and skill. And sometimes you don't want to control it. In the case of using bentonite to prevent water from leaving a pond, say, to the other end of the scale where you're using kaolin to make pots, where you don't want it to shrink too much, and you don't want it to shrink too much either when it's being fired. So the whole question about clay as being a single thing is, again, as misleading as saying that earth building is a single thing. Earth building is a family of materials and processes, as is clay. And this isn't a coincidence. Different clays lend themselves to different clay building processes, and it can be quite hard to get some kinds of clays to work with some kinds of processes. And this is why, as clay builders, we need to be aware all the time that the particular material that we have may not be suited to the particular process that we're trying to build with. It's not the case that it can't be manipulated to change its characteristics and to work better, but it may be that you would be better off to use the clay in the form that suggests itself rather than bending it to your will. But this is really a question of what are the materials that you have around you, what are the costs associated with bringing extra sand to site, processing that sand, or what are the opportunity costs for bringing in a different kind of aggregate, as we've spoken about, with shivs of various different agricultural wastes. If you're having to bring this stuff from the other end of the country, maybe it's better to think about using the clay in something that lends itself more to the properties that it has. Anyway, I hope that you've enjoyed listening a little bit to these thoughts about this material, which is so overlooked and so often unseen in the world around us, and that it gives you a little bit of its inspiration to play around with the material and find out a little bit about it, because as I've discovered, there isn't as much expertise with the material, with the use of the material, as I'd assumed that there would be. And very quickly, you'll become quite expert, and particularly in the clay that you have close to where you are. And that won't be a clay that anybody else writing a book or building a building has necessarily used before. I think this came most vividly to me even before I understood anything about clay, in that I was working in Africa with material called laterite. And laterite's a very interesting tropically formed material. It's a whole spectrum of materials, and it stretches from very fine silts and clays all the way through to big kind of rocky agglomerations. And it fails the first test of the British building stand BS 1377, in that you can't put it into a kiln at 115 degrees because what comes out at the end of it is powder. And yet, when you find a laterite with the properties that you're looking for, it can, in it of itself, self-harden. So the word laterite comes from the Latin later, brick, from those deposits in places like Nigeria and Sri Lanka, South India, where it can be cut out of the ground with simple saws or blades and left to dry and to oxidate and to harden to the point where what had been dissolvable in water becomes a rigid and an unchanging object. So although there are clays present in laterite, they are very different to any of the types of clays that we have in the UK.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.